Episode 1307, My Strength is My Story with Robin Bertram, Hidden Treasures.
Moms, needing a little inspiration and a ray of hope? You've come to the right place. This is the show that you can turn to for just the pick-me-up you need. This is Create Your Now, Your Best Selfie. Here's your host, certified life coach, personal trainer, and nutritionist, Christiane Wargo.
Staring at a stop sign, watching people drive.
Happy, happy day. It is my favorite day of the week. It is My Strength is My Story series, and we have with us Robin Bertram. She is a hidden treasure. I must tell you, we had an incredible time chatting. I just talked with her yesterday. Her book is brand new off the market, and her story is riveting. You are going to want to stay tuned. For those of you who are brand new to Create Your Now, friends and family of Robin's, welcome to our family. I'm so delighted of your presence. If you already haven't had the opportunity, you want to head on over to createyournow.com where you can learn more and sign up for the Kisses newsletter, the Keep It Simple Strategy Everyday Solutions to Live, Love, and Impact. Well, we really had the opportunity to chat deep about her book, Hidden Treasures. But it was more than just the pen to paper. This woman has a heart of gold. She really wants to impact women's lives. And coming from the point of almost desperation with her own walk when she was diagnosed with her own terminal illness. You'll have to stay tuned as to what happened. But we share stories. She shares her heart. And she gives you so many golden nuggets, I just know you're going to eat them up. I pray that this will touch your heart and that it will open a bigger door than you ever expected. God is on the horizon. Without further ado, let's welcome in Robin Bertram, Hidden Treasures. Hello and welcome to Create Your Now. We have with us a woman in the house. Oh my gosh. There are so many things I can say about her. Number one, she is my friend and sister in Christ, Robin Bertram. She is a wife of 33 years, a mom to two grown children, plus she has four grandchildren. Okay, mark that up. She is just probably in love with life every single day. Robin is the founder of Robin Bertram Ministries and vice president of media relations for Christian Women in Media Association. She currently serves on the National Advisory Board. Robin's heart is impacting, influencing, and investing in women. She lives this out as a seasoned conference speaker and former host of the nationally syndicated television program, Freedom Today. Robin is also the author of over 18 books and Bible studies. Are you ready? Let's get our eyeglasses on. Come on, ladies, we got this. Her latest hot off the press book is Hidden Treasures, Finding Hope at the End of Life's Journey. No matter where you are today, there is hope. Welcome, my friend and sister in Christ. How are you?
Christiane, I'm so excited to be with you today. Thank you so much for having me. This is fun.
Oh, well, good. I hope you've got a cup of coffee with you or whatever you're drinking today. Hopefully it's a good kind of clear liquid.
Yes.
But we're just going to kind of let it all hang out and kind of let our curls down and really get into your brand new book, Hidden Treasures. But before we dive in, what brings you joy?
Oh my goodness, you said it in the intro, my grandchildren. I have four beautiful grandchildren, a brand new little baby boy, which I just absolutely love. August is only 2 months old. So we spend a lot of time in the pool playing with the kids and having cookouts, and we're just enjoying life, like you said. It's a precious, precious time.
Now, I have to ask you, because I'm not a grandma yet. I'm hoping to be one eventually. Eventually.
Anyway.
But what is it really like to experience it? I mean, I've had my mom tell me, but, you know, well, coming from motherhood to grandmother. Yeah.
It is totally weird because everyone says it's an experience you cannot verbalize, and it's so true. It is overwhelming joy and love. It's just the best of the best. It brings just laughter and cheer to my heart every day, every day.
Oh, I can hear it in your voice. I just love that. Well, in the intro, yes, I mentioned that you have this heart for impacting, influencing, and investing in women. Where did your dream begin in ministering to women?
I love that, Christiane. 30 years ago, when I was a young woman with babies, the Lord had really prompted my heart. I had been managing an optometric practice in Lewisburg, West Virginia, and I ran that practice for 13 years. I absolutely loved my career. I was making, at that time, really good money. I had established my whole life around being a career woman. And I remember one day driving home from work, and Christiane, as clearly as I'm speaking to you right now, I heard in my heart, the Lord spoke to my heart and he said, go home and know me. And I'm like, what? And I knew he didn't mean just that day. I knew he meant give it all up. Give up your dream career. Give up your dream career. Leave it all behind. Go home and know me. And it was such a shock to me. And so I went home. I told my husband what I'd heard. And he said, that's not the Lord. That's got to be the devil. I said, you're not quitting your job.
Yeah, finances, ding, ding, ding.
We had just built a new house. We had just put in a very large swimming pool, which my salary covered. We had everything. And he said, we can't, Robin, that cannot be right. And so it took literally a year to convince my husband that it was God and not Robin. And finally, he said, this has got to be God. So I gave up my career. I came home. I sat in my driveway, in my front yard, when I would lay out in the sun and I had my Bible in my lap and I would read scripture. I would read the Bible 2, 3, sometimes 4 hours a day. And I knew it was the beginning. That was the beginning call in my ministry.
Wow. Now, at this time, where did the family play a role? Did you have any children at that time?
My children were babies. And it was several years later, the Lord, I was in prayer. And I was driving through my neighborhood, and I remember it like it was yesterday. And I said, Lord, I will be behind. I had two friends who felt called into ministry. And I said, Lord, I'll be behind their ministry. I said, I'll sit at the book table. I'll carry their luggage. I'll do whatever you want me to do. And I heard this, I want them behind your ministry. And I was like, what? What do you mean, my Christine, I grew up in a pastor's home. And, you know, he planted 5 churches. My father, Reverend Paul Maddie, he traveled the country. He sang in gospel group, the Freedom Heirs gospel group. And so I didn't want to be in ministry because, you know, being a PK, you see all the hardships that go behind ministry work. You know, a lot of people look at the front end. They see the glamour or they see the excitement and they see all the upfront things. But when you're a PK, you see all the behind the scenes, the hard work, the long nights, the laborious days that you go through as a pastor. And so I had no interest, but when the Lord spoke that into my heart, I was like, okay, yes, Lord, okay. And I literally, again, I go to my husband and I'm crying. And I'm for 2 days, I'm literally shaking. I mean, physically, I was shaking. I was like, what does he mean, ministry? What does he mean? And so, you know, because you take it very seriously, that's not something that you just kind of one day just, oh, I think I'll be in ministry and I think I'll be a women's minister. And so when the word says with fear, work out your salvation with fear and trembling, that part I get.
You were there.
There, upfront and personal. But that was also, you know, that was about 25 years ago. And the Lord started me in prayer ministry. And when I said yes, you know, because you have to agree with God's plan. And when I said, yes, Lord, I don't know what this really means, but yes, Lord. And, you know, sometimes that's all it takes, Christiane, is the yes, Lord. And I remember out of the blue, people started calling me and they called me for prayer. And I was driving to homes and I started driving. The more they called, I was like overwhelmed and I had to ask my friends, will you join me? Will you come help me? Finally, my pastor said, you're driving yourself crazy, you know, running around. Why don't you bring it, let them come to you. So we established a prayer ministry and I had about, I think it was about 15 prayer ministers, and we would pray Monday through Friday, 8 to 4, and then two nights a week, and it was constant prayer. People were getting healed, delivered, saved. It was miraculous work, just miraculous. And I remember thinking, God, you're amazing. Because, you know, he sets it up. He calls us. He plants the seed. He sets it up. He opens the door and you're just kind of following through blindly following his leadership.
Yes.
But that's the beauty of ministry.
It is a beautiful thing. And in that, though, you mentioned fear. And a lot of people, you know, you read in scripture, your word to fear the Lord. And that word can somewhat be, you know, taken out of context. When you say that you entered in and you followed him, there was this lead, yes, Lord, you know, lead me, take me. How did your fear factor change in all of this?
Well, you know, several different ways, because before I was called into ministry, the Lord literally set me free of, I had panic attacks, Christiane, so bad I could not speak in a group. I would have panic attacks. I remember being at Disney World and we were in one of the rides with my children when they were babies. And I remember feeling like if I don't get out of here, I can't breathe. I'm going to die. I'm going to die right here, right now. And it was so intense. Like if I took an aspirin, I thought it was going to kill me. And the panic attack started after the birth of my children, but it was really weird because it seemed to pop out of nowhere. Although looking back, I had a spirit of fear since childhood, and a traumatic situation planted fear in that in my heart. And I thought it was just part of my identity until one of those days when I was sitting out reading my scripture in, you know, getting a suntan, and I'm studying the Word of God, and perfect love casts out fear. And it hit me like lightning bolt. You mean that's really not part of my personality? And when that truth resonated in my heart, I was freed of fear. Mm-hmm. I mean, it was like a miraculous deliverance from fear. So that started the journey. But when the Lord called me into ministry, the fear and shaking with fear and trembling, it is the knowledge of a sovereign, almighty God. So you don't take that lightly. And you don't take that lightheartedly. I knew what that meant. And I remember in the beginning, the Lord speaking to my heart, I'm not going to allow you to dabble in ministry. In other words, Robin, you're all in or you're not in at all. And that was massive. And because being all in means my days aren't my days anymore. You know, my days are not my days anymore.
Yeah, our days are numbered.
Yes, they're numbered. Mm-hmm. And they're assigned. God has a job for us to accomplish. And that was really the work with Hidden Treasures. There's an assignment. This was not just a book written because I like to write, which I do. I love to write. And it wasn't a book written because I saw a need. It was much greater than that, Christiane. I remember, and my family does too, they remember the day I was given this assignment. Mm. I was at the altar in Burlington, North Carolina at church, and I got up from the time of prayer after the service, and as I was starting to leave the church, three faces popped in my mind. Just out of the blue, I saw three faces. And these faces were individuals that I had worked with in prayer ministry as they had fought their own battles. And then the Lord spoke to my heart and he said, Robin, I want you to write what you learned through those experiences. And I was so overwhelmed. I was just crying and, you know, beside myself. And I walked out and my son is like, Mom, are you okay? Are you? Yes, I'm okay.
These are good tears.
These are good tears. And, you know, at the time I thought, oh my goodness, you know, this is a big assignment. And, but I knew, Chrissy, and I knew it was the Lord. And so I told them exactly what I was to write, what I was to call the book. I told my son, my daughter, my husband, they were all with me that day. And I said, and the Lord at the right time will open the door for this work to go forth. And he did. And he did.
Wow. Well, didn't you start writing the book, though, and it sat there for a little while, like half the book, and like 7 years or something?
Yes. Christiane, let me tell you, lesson learned. Lesson learned, girl. When God says do it, don't postpone. Do not postpone. Because here's what happens. You know, God gives you an assignment. And this is what I did. I would work on it a little bit here and a little bit there. I was so involved in my church work, in women's ministry. I was traveling. I was hosting events across the nation. I had so much on my plate. And I thought, God, how can I possibly do it all? And so I waited. And you know how the Lord just, he allows it for a time. And then he gives you a little fire to go through.
Ow!
Yeah, and it burns. He really gives you a fire and it really burns. And mine was a health challenge. And Chrissy Ann, this is the craziest story, but the Lord, about 4.5 years ago, I went through a life-challenging situation where I had to go to Mayo. They gave me 4 diagnoses. They took 3 off the table. They left 1 on. And the only one they left on was non-treatable, no medication, no treatment, no hope, with a 2-year life expectancy. Mm. While I was facing my own mortality, Robin, I lived 1.5 years waiting, literally waiting to die. And I said, okay, God, I get it. I'm going to finish that book. So I got really busy, finished the book, and then he opened the door.
Isn't that just incredible, though? I mean, God works in mysterious ways. And when we least expect it, he shows up. Not that he ever left us, but it's like our eyes were opened and the heart connection, the soul was just revived and said, you know, Lord, I am here for you. And look what he did with you.
It's amazing. It's just amazing. And what I went through, I understood. It was during that time, God took me to a much deeper level. Because what I was writing before was important, but what I wrote after that experience was a whole different thing. a whole different scenario.
Well, how did you live day to day knowing that that day could be your last?
Oh, it was crazy. It was crazy. One thing that I did, first I got very upset, then I got depressed, and then I got angry. And I was even angry at God. God, I've been following you. I've been listening. I've been doing your work. So I had to process through all of that. And one day, Christiana, this is so crazy, but the Lord spoke again to my heart. I mean, like I'm speaking to you. And this is what I heard in my hearing. Robin, are you going to believe what you've taught for the last 30 years? And that was a turning point in my heart. I had to get out of my pity party. I had to give up my anger. I had to get on my marching war boots And I grabbed every healing scripture I could find in the Bible. I wrote them down. I had already laid out my living will. I had already wrote my funeral. I had done everything that you need to do in preparation. And then I said, I've got to fight. I've got to fight. So I got out all those healing scriptures and I marched through my neighborhood as best I could. And I would quote those scriptures and I would pray those scriptures. I even tape recorded the scriptures in case I got to the place where I physically could not speak them out so that I would have those scriptures to listen to. So, and then the Lord just gave me that I would see visions of myself being incapacitated, where I could not move, and I would have to scream out, no, in the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, I reject those visions. And I'm a very visual person, and sometimes that's a benefit and sometimes it's not. But I know, because the devil can use it as well as God, but I know that he gave me that fighting spirit. And I'm so thankful, because without that spirit, Christiane, I would not be here today to speak with you about hidden treasures.
And how are you today?
I am, thank you, Jesus.
Amen.
I got my dismissal from Mayo. At a year and a half, I went back and they said, hey, listen, come back if you ever need us again. We don't understand it. We cannot explain it. All we can say is, if you ever need us again, come back. Hmm. Is that not beautiful?
It's gorgeous. Beautiful. Yes.
It is so God.
Oh, amen. So God. And if you guys are not riveting already and your heart isn't pounding harder, you're going to want to take 20 seconds and go pick up your own copy of Hidden Treasures, Finding Hope at the End of Life's Journey. Well, you found hope, obviously. Kind of a crazy roundabout, a tailspin or two or three. You talk, though, a lot in your book about hope. And I know for me, as I read your book from cover to cover, front to back, that your dad played a very pivotal role in your life. He was in ministry, like you said, for 50 years. What does he mean to you, and what made him so special?
Oh my goodness, Christiane. Everything that I am doing right now, before he passed on to glory, he laid his hands on my family and he prayed the most beautiful prayer I've ever heard him pray. And he passed on his ministry call. But my dad was a man of great faith. When he was in his early 50s, 55-ish, middle 50s, he had a severe heart attack, and he had three in a row, and his doctors kept coming to us and saying, prepare for his burial at 55. My father lived to be 84. The VA hospital in Roanoke, Virginia called him in to interview him, to ask him, how is this possible? We see your medical records. And we see you. They don't match. And my dad, so innocently and sincerely, he said, well, I believe in taking my vitamins and I believe in the power of prayer.
Amen.
And the head doctor said, I think I need to go to your church, Mr. Matty. And he had been... his last heart attack, before he passed on to glory, he laid on the floor in our basement for 4 hours. He could not get up. His heart rate was 18 beats per minute. All of his organs had begun to shut down. The medical team said there's no way he cannot have brain damage, blindness, or deafness, it's some traumatic thing from this situation. They got him to the hospital. He lived 11 years more after that. And they said, I asked him, I said, Daddy, what were you thinking when you were laying there on the floor? He said, well, Robin, I just cried out to God. And I just said, God, I'm not ready to leave yet. I'm not ready to leave yet. And God blessed him with 11 years. Powerful.
Very powerful. Robin, some people are going through something terminal right now. Maybe it is a terminal diagnosis. Maybe it is terminal life-altering, like a divorce or abuse from a spouse, or maybe they're caught in an abuse themselves, or they are the abuser. The person who's listening right now that just feels like they're trapped and they're laying on that floor like your dad was,
beautiful.
What hope would you give them?
The only hope that is viable, that's going to work in those periods of darkness, is the hope that we have in Jesus Christ. They have to know Jesus as Lord and Savior. If they will acknowledge that he lived, he died, he was buried, he raised from the dead, he sits at the right hand of God the Father, then they have hope. And here's the thing, biblical hope is not like we think of hope today, like I hope there's a sale at the mall today. It's not that kind of hope. Biblical hope is an assurance. It's a confident assurance that it is written, it is truth. And when we understand biblical hope, it changes our whole perspective. We're no longer looking at earthly things. We have a heavenly perspective. We understand that we're dealing with God Almighty that created the universe. Is anything too big for our God? There's nothing too big for him. And when there's nothing more powerful on the face of this earth than his word and his name. And when we understand that, when we operate from that knowing, God will move mountains for us. He will move mountains for us. And it's not to say everyone that cries out is going to live if they are terminal. But what I can promise you, if they do cry out, God will walk them through in the most gentle, loving way that they can't even comprehend his grace. I know from personal experience working with families that are in dire situations, I have watched God show up in such a miraculous way. One child that we prayed for the last month of his life, he was terminal. He did not even need morphine. He didn't take any pain medication for an entire month. And the reason was, I know God blessed him because he wanted him lucid to enjoy every precious moment with his family. God removed the pain from that child. The hospice nurses could not even explain it. So that's the beauty and the power of God, whether they are facing terminal illness or they've been through a divorce. Another lady that I ministered to had been through a brutal divorce, but God so graciously covered her with peace, wisdom that she did not have, and just the love of Christ that got her through the darkest days of her life. He's there. And that's part of this book that I really stress to the readers. God hears, he knows, and he cares. And that's what people struggle with when they're in times of darkness. They're like, where are you, God? Why aren't you hearing me? But this helps, I hope, the reader find that God does hear and he does care.
Amen. He does. Well, while we're talking about the book, tell us a little bit about how you set it up, because you named it Hidden Treasures, and in here you have stuff like the treasure chest and you have keys and you have, you know, share worthy. Tell us how you set this up, because it's very unique.
Thank you so much. I just love that, because the share worthy, you know, God put that on my heart. And those are little blocks of information that are worthy to share, whether it's a quote or whether it's my quote or someone else's quote. It's just something very powerful that the reader can jump online and share that with their audience, which I think is a tremendous blessing. And then the treasure chest at the end, I really want to to encapsulate some of the most valuable takeaways of each chapter. And so, yes, thank you. And so they get to check out that the treasure chest at the end of each chapter, because they are filled, absolutely filled with vital, vital information. Also in the book, I include nuggets of wisdom. And I love that too. I love those too, because those are valuable scriptures, Chrissy-Anne, that got me through my time of darkness. So if we will just grab on to those nuggets of wisdom when we're struggling, whether it's a divorce or a loss of a child, everyone out there, I mean everyone, has a family member, a neighbor, or a church member that's suffering right now. Everyone. And I think what a valuable gift this could be, because it's written from a perspective of someone who knows what it feels like to be dying. It's not just it's just not another book. So I pray that they will find these tools useful. I set it up so that it's a quick resources. At the very back, I have what's called Love in Action. And I know this personally, because when I went through my own struggles, these things came to mind. I stress in the book a chapter, one of the chapters on communication and how vital communication is. And I added that into the Love in Action, because oftentimes when someone's struggling, they're going through hardships, especially illness, people will speak for them. Or they will assume what they're thinking. And so I really encourage everyone out there, the readers, when you do have someone that's ill or terminal or whatever, please allow them to use their own voice. Because even when you ask them, well, how do you want me to pray? We can't assume that we know how they want us to pray. One dear man, I asked him, I said, how would you like me to pray for you? He said, as long as there's breath in my body, I want you to pray for healing.
Amen.
And I love that.
Yes. And that's the thing. We kind of, I don't want to kind of brush this under the carpet, but that's what we do. Because
yes,
we live in our own fear. Like, oh my gosh, they're dying and I'm going to say something wrong. Then I'm going to live with the regrets, because it's the ones that are left behind that have to deal with those thoughts, the undone things. I can remember when my grandmother passed away, and it's my children's great-grandmother. And one thing I loved in your book that you wrote, the importance of touch. And it goes in line even with love and action, because you and I agree, love is action. It's a verb, and we are to act upon it. It's not something that it's like, oh, it's a feeling. I'm in love. You know, those are other bubbly things that happen, but love the way God means it is different, and it's action. And with that, I can remember standing next to her and just taking her hand and just holding it and caressing it. And she was such a fragile thing. And I knew she was, but I also knew that in the time that she knew I was me, because she also had Alzheimer's, and so she was in and out as to if she knew it was me or if she was somewhere 40 years ago. It was just that special touch, and I will never forget it. It's the most precious thing in the world. Yet for someone who, I mean, I'm a PK too. So you grow up a little bit differently. You deal and handle with death a little bit differently, I think, than the average person does. And with that though, the average person who's sitting here going, I just can't go up. I'm afraid to hold their hand. I'm afraid, you may even be afraid that we're going to catch what they have. That sounds horrible. But what would you tell that person who needs to be holding the hand?
That is such a beautiful question, and thank you for asking. Because I remember working with one man that his sons were terrified to go, and they didn't. They stayed away until the very end. And I try to stress that in the book, go, visit, hold, love. When you're holding their hand, it's that warmth that they need, that connection. And there's not a greater gift you can give them than just holding them and hugging them and loving on them, because they feel so alone. And that touch makes them feel the connection that they need to survive, even to get through those last days. So I really encourage families, one, please don't stay away. Please, please, please. Now, you might need to schedule out, and I write that in the book too, schedule out your time so that you're not wearing people, you know, the person out, but and that they can expect a time that you're going to show up. That's really important too, showing up consistently at the same time, and they know that you're coming. They look forward to it, but that touch is vital. It just takes away the fear and the anxiety, and it passes that warmth and that love to your loved one. Very important. Do not stay away. That's key.
It is so important. And if people would just kind of step on fear, you know, because it's something that we give power to.
You're so right. We give power to it. Mm-hmm. And I wrote that in the book because it will take whatever you will give it. And the more you feed fear, the greater it becomes in your own life. So when you feel it, you have to say no in the name of Jesus, because no in the name of Robin won't work.
That's right. It's all in the name of Jesus. I mean, the Holy Spirit. That's right. Amen. Well, those that are dealing with the end of life, we know is not easy. And this is a conversation that I was talking to you before this. We just came back from vacation. And as a mom of five, I was talking to my oldest daughter, and we were just kind of hanging out at the beach. And we started talking about how, I don't exactly remember the conversation, but you know, mom, meaning me, I'm not going to be here forever. And some people would be like, you talked about that on vacation? Are you serious? This is supposed to be a family gathering. This is supposed to be uniting. And I'm like, it is uniting, because that is going to happen. It is a fact of life. For those who are dealing with that right now, and they're the ones that are going to be left behind, how can one move forward from the loss of that loved one?
This is so vital, Christiane, because it's not just, here's what we think. It's this, you know, it could be for the sick, the dying. It's for everyone. Last year, I had the unfortunate blessing of leading a funeral for a dear friend, 46 years old with four children. She did not expect to leave this world at 46 years old. She did not expect it. And so this, you're right, this is a conversation we all need to have. No man is guaranteed tomorrow. The Word of God is very clear about that. We don't have those guarantees. So this book encourages that conversation. When you're prepared, when you have the conversation, when you joyfully can sit down and discuss end-of-life matters, whether you're 20 or 50 or 80, it does not matter. Whether you're dealing with an elderly parent or a young adult who may need to take care of you or me. You know, we don't know. So it opens up the communication in a way that I hope stresses the importance of God being in the midst of all of those decisions. When He is in the midst, leading and guiding. I remember, Christiane, at my father's viewing, and this sounds crazy, but I'm going to tell you like it was. I stood at his casket and I literally felt like I was at a wedding feast. Just one person after the entire night. I don't know what it would have been like in my life without your father's prayers. I don't know. You know, just the entire night was a celebration of his life. And what a beautiful way. That's the way I want to leave. That's the way I want to leave.
Amen.
And so having those conversations up front with your loved ones, letting them know what your thoughts are, what your feelings are. Again, it's the communication. My friend who passed away did not have the time to sit down with her children and have this discussion. And so they had a very difficult time, and it's hard to let go. Again, this brings us back to Jesus. When we know that our loved one is in heaven, and I touch on heaven, and that's the last chapter of the book, because when we know where we're going, everything is better. And I knew where my father was. I knew he was in a much better place. And I mourned loss for me, but I celebrated goodness for him.
Mm. Ah, beautiful. Y'all are going to want to pick up your own copy of Hidden Treasures, Finding Hope at the End of Life's Journey. And speaking of the stuff that's in your book, you break it down into three different parts. There's 13 chapters, I think. Did I remember it? I don't know if I remember it. Oh, 12. I'm adding one in. Maybe I'm counting the introduction and the preface. I mean, I read it all front to back. Maybe we're up to 18 by now. I don't know. But yes, but it's broken down into like your part. So your part one is looking inward. And then you have, I believe, looking outward. And then you have looking upward.
Yes. Okay. And I did that specifically, Christiane, because this is my thoughts. This was the journey God took me through. First, looking inward. If we don't know what's in our heart, we cannot get through darkness. Whatever the loss or the pain, whatever it is, we have to look inward first. And then the second part of the book is looking outward because we can't do it alone and we're not called to. We're called to reach out and be part and connected with a body of believers who will support and love us through it. And then looking upward, it is vital that we know what awaits us. When we understand the glories of heaven, it's like Apostle Paul, I'm torn. Should I stay and work to help you out or should I go on to be with the Lord? And when we understand that beauty that awaits us and our loved ones understand, the journey's much easier. Mm. It's a much easier journey.
It is easier. And I think you can find beauty in it. It may take a little while. But you can find beauty. I know when I lost my father, unfortunately, I lost him very early. He died of a sudden heart attack while driving at 65. And it was not an easy loss, obviously. He hasn't been able to see his grandchildren grow up on earth. I tell my children, though, he has a heavenly perspective, and Papa's always watching out for them. And, you know, it's something that's very special, but the crazy thing is I know when I was going through that, losing my father, I can remember knowing that I was walking with no regrets. You started out your book with the story of Jack. And it was about no regrets, that he was ready and it was time. Tell just a little bit about that story.
It was just beautiful because I spoke at his funeral too. And he said, I said, what do you want me to say, Jack? And he said, tell him the truth. He was not the easiest man to get along with, but what I loved, 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 you always knew where you stood with Jack. You always knew. And so I spoke his funeral. He was one of the men that said, if I am healed here, I'm healed. If I'm healed there, I'm healed. Either way, I'm healed. I learned more walking with that precious man to his home going as I watched his faith. Even 2 weeks before he passed on to glory, he said he had a frame and it had healing scriptures. He said, I want you to go get that frame off the wall and bring it to me. And I did. And he said, now I want you to read me one by one. And we read those scriptures. I read them to him as he was bedridden 2 weeks before he passed on. And we literally, Christiane, we had church. We were crying, we were laughing, and we were praising God. And then I got to be blessed by sharing at his home going. It was a tremendous time. It was just a beautiful, beautiful experience. And what I learned from him, your faith will define your life. Your faith will define your death. And your faith will define everything in between.
We need to sit on that one and chew it. Because a lot of us are going through life thinking we don't really need our faith. We just call on it when we need it. The thing is God wants to be there through every part of it. The crazy, silly things when we're at Walmart or Target picking up, you know, Bluebell ice cream. I don't know, root beer, so we can have root beer floats. Just saying, it's summertime, you know. But he also wants to be there when you're hurting and when you're in pain. He was there for you. As you were going through your challenge, what was the greatest yet most painful hidden treasure that he revealed to you?
You know, I really think the question that he asked me, because it was so profound in my heart, when he asked me, are you going to believe what you've taught for 30 years? To me, you know, when God refines us, he refines us not so he will find out what's in our heart. He refines us so we will find out what's in our hearts. And it was like an aha moment. I was like, God, of course I'm going to believe. But I had to know that deep within myself. So that refinement was for me. And that's what I mean about hidden treasures, because when we're walking through this difficult time, he has taken us just like a diamond in the rough, and he's rubbing off all those rough edges. Everything that is not of him, we will be shaken to our very core of being. And I think all of us will be. At some point in time in life, we'll all be shaken. And what is left over is going to be that pure gold. And I really believe in my heart that whole time of refinement, it was about, Robin, if you're going to preach it, you're going to believe it. Or you're going to sit down and shut up. And I really believe he gave me that option to find in my own heart my hidden treasure. What do you believe?
So I would throw that back to the listener right now, the ones who are watching, and say, what do you believe now? Where's your heart? Are you just settling into your mundane tasks? Are you just kind of hunkering over, you know, just like, okay, this is what my life's going to be, and I don't need to worry anymore? For that person who's listening right now, for the woman who's crying out, but she doesn't quite know what to cry out, could we just pause for a moment, Robin, and could I ask you just to lift them up in prayer right now?
Absolutely. I'd love to do that. Thank you, Christiane. Heavenly Father, we just come before you, gracious King. And God, for each hurting individual out there, each individual that has faced some life challenge, something painful, that they feel they just cannot move through or past, God, you show hidden treasures in secret places. And I'm asking you, Father, for each one of those precious people, God, I'm asking that you wrap your loving arms around them. May they feel your grace today as they've never felt it before. May they feel your love flowing freely over them. May they understand, God, maybe for the first time in their lives, that they are your treasure, that they are your hidden treasure. And God, they are the apple of your eye, that you love them and you are with them and you will guide them and you will lead them. So, Father, through the power of your Spirit, we ask you to touch their hearts right where they are. And we ask you to fill them with hope, God. Hope that is eternal. Hope that is everlasting. Hope that is biblical. Hope that is real, God. I ask you to tear away every false thing in their heart and rip away the spirit of fear that keeps them from you. And God, I ask you to touch them and let them see your light as they cry out to you in the midst of their darkness. And we ask this in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. Amen. Thank you so much, Robin. People need to stop. And, you know, I just have this sense that someone may be running, working out. They're just, you know, school starting. And already they're turning their vocabulary to, I'm so busy. And we've got to refrain from that. When we get so busy, we begin to shut God out. And then what happens is we live in this world of hopelessness and we wonder why we can't escape it.
So true.
What is one of your favorite scriptures that you cling to when you're like, okay, this is not really a great day, but we're going to keep moving on?
Oh, I've got so many. But, you know, I think, you know, the one that has been on my heart for the last 3 years, Psalm 32, I cried out to the Lord and he healed me. That every single day, I've told the Lord, God, thank you for healing me. Thank you for allowing me life. Thank you for giving me life. I know from looking back at my life, no matter what the challenges have been, no matter how big they've been, God always hears our prayers and he answers them. He might not answer them the way we want, but he always answers them. And so I, for the last 3 years, I have gotten up, God, thank you for this day. You don't know what joy fills your heart when you know you've been given a second chance at life. And it makes you look back at all the times he's answered your prayers. How can you not be thankful for a God who hears, who knows, and who cares?
Whoa. Okay. Drop the mic. You're going to want to pick up your own copy of Hidden Treasures. It's out today. Finding Hope at the End of Life's Journey. Don't you just feel like you can invite Robin over for some dinner? I don't know what she's cooking, but I'm cooking too. So let's just all do it together. I love it. Oh, you know, Robin, your book has a lot of stories in it. And that's what I love about it, because you can watch on TV. You can pick up other books that allow you to use your imagination. When you pick up this book, these are real people that you tell stories about. You talk about your daughter in here, and you also talk about your son, Logan. Now, we're not going to share the story. I want to leave it as a teaser. If you have a high school student or a college student, you need to read Logan's story in this book. All I can say is I don't know that I could have waited as long as Robin and her husband. So with that, you got to run to the bookstore now and pick up your own copy. It is pretty dramatic, and there are a lot of dramatic stories. However, though, they are real stories. And that, in my opinion, is what makes your book. It's not like you're putting all this stuff up on a pedestal. It's for anyone. Whether they are at a point in their life where they are, you know, faced with a terminal illness, or one who just isn't going real well. Life just really isn't happening they want to. There are so many platinum nuggets in this book that they can glean. They want to pick it up. So I got a question though for you. Where did the title Hidden Treasures come in? Because you mentioned that it came to you all in that day crying from the church, your family knew, but why Hidden Treasures?
I think with Hidden Treasures, when the Lord said, he said, I will reveal hidden treasures in secret places. We always think that, you know, we think that our income, our lifestyle, we think of all these earthly things are important. They're not. What's valuable is the wisdom and the revelation that comes from reading God's word. And it really is in hidden places. It's in the darkness of your personal prayer time. It's in your prayer closet. It's when you're deep in worship, God gives you these revelations. And they're not just for you. They're for you and your children and your grandchildren and everyone in your circle of influence. So I really, that one scripture just really spoke to my heart. And I knew hidden treasures in secret places. And the word goes on to say, and that's how you will know that I am the Lord God, the God of Israel, who called you by name. And you can't get any more intimate than that. It's about intimacy with him in those secret places.
Hidden treasures. Well, I know people are going to want to find some hidden treasures with you. Where can they connect with you, Robin?
Thank you. I have a website, robinbertram.tv. I also have a Facebook at Official Robin Bertram. I'd love for all of the listeners to jump on and like my page and join me. I'm there every day. So I'm on Twitter, I'm on Instagram, I'm on LinkedIn, I'm everywhere else too. Just Google the name.
Well, we'll be sure to have all those links for you all in the show notes so you can have it readily at your fingertips. So whatever you're doing right now, because I know you're so busy, they'll be there waiting for you to connect with Robin. Well, before I let you go, Robin, I have one last question for you. The series is called My Strength is My Story. What has your story gifted you?
Oh my goodness. For me personally, what this story has done for me within each and every person here, watching, in the viewing audience, listening, God has a treasure inside of you. It might be well hidden, but it's there. And the first part, the very first chapter, is about digging up those hidden treasures within. I didn't know I was an author until the Lord said, write the book. And then I've written many books since that time. And so if we'll allow God, Christiane, to dig up those hidden treasures within us, the sky is the limit for what we can do while we're here on this earth. Finding our own hidden treasures.
Are you ready to dig in? I'm digging. Go pick up your copy of your book. Robin, it has been a pleasure. We're just going to have you back. We're going to have more coffee time and chat time because this has been a blast. When's your next book?
I'm working on it now, believe it or not. Hopefully next year. Hopefully by the fall of next year.
Well, we may have to have you back before then, but when it does come out, you are welcome back anytime. You are a treasure, and I know God has something magnificent planned for you that he has yet to reveal, but he's going to because you've got many hidden treasures. Thank you so much, Robin.
Thank you. It's a joy.
Feeling inspired, ready to train for life, and love your journey? Visit createyournow.com for more incredible resources to help you along the way. We'll see you next time on Create Your Now, Your Best Selfie. And remember, always be sure you consult your physician before beginning any health and fitness plan.